Welcome to the Spurs Cast.
The whole update deal. I'm not doing that. I'm too big for that.
You should be. It's so stupid.
Dude, where's Jose?
They're trying to get... he just messaged, actually. He said start without him.
Okay. Well, that's good with me. I'd rather go without him anyway. That guy sucks. He's killing the show.
Damn, son. Didn't need to kill him like that.
Well, he'll get over it quick. He'll get over it.
I hope so.
He's got a tough skin. So not much to talk about. Just a little bit of a free agency. I want to talk to you about the Spurs. I can't even say the guy's name.
Joffrey Laverne.
That's it.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
That's right. We can talk through that. So let me get to NBA.com. Talk about our stories. And go from there. How's that sound?
Sweet.
Okay. You ready?
Hit me.
You're the best, man. Hit me. Hit me. All right. Congratulations. Congratulations. You have arrived at episode 454 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs radio show and podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I am your host, Ryan McCallum, but you already knew that. The thing you don't know is that Jose has taken tonight off, and he is being replaced by the one and the only, the incomparable Mr. Benjamin Bornstein. Ben, how's it going, man, on this night of the ESPYs?
Oh, it is fantastic. I am so glad I'm here for the palindrome show. Let's ride.
So, you haven't been watching any of the ESPYs tonight?
I've been actually actively avoiding it.
Well, great moment. So first off, Peyton Manning is the host, and he's killing it. He's just great. I mean, this is perfect for him. You know, it's a great venue for him. He's a funny dude.
He was great on SNL those few years ago when he did it. He was phenomenal. I'm sure he's killing it on the ESPYs. I'm going to probably watch it all at once later. But, like, I had some league games I had to play. So now I just don't want to watch any of it. So, because I don't want to get caught in the middle and then have no idea what's going on.
Well, you got to watch the opening monologue because very much basketball related. So he's going around doing his shtick and, you know, saying, hey, congrats to this team and that kind of stuff. And he gives a congratulations to the women's gymnastics team from this past year, right? The Fab Five, okay, or the First Five or whatever it was that won more gold medals than any other Olympic team in history. And so he says all that and like, oh, this team is so great. And they're so dominant that next year Kevin Durant wants to join their team. And they pan over to Kevin Durant, and he's pissed. His mom's laughing, but he's pissed. And then he tackles that but he says, you know what, KD, you probably wouldn't even start for that team. And then he goes, hey, what do you think about that, Russ? And it goes to Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook's pissed. So, I mean, he immediately ostracized himself from the rest of the crowd. Oh, I mean, the rest of the crowd was laughing, but those two guys, it was not funny. That was not funny to them at all.
Oh, taking his shots early. I love it.
He was really good. He was really good.
That's some cojones right there. I can get on board with that.
Yeah, and it continues. I mean, he's poking fun at everybody and himself. So, anyway, it's a good show. It's a good show. He's, a great host for that. But I don't think the listeners of this show necessarily care about that. They want to talk about the NBA, and Summer League is not just nigh upon us, but it has been going on for a while. I'm telling you what, Josh Jackson, dude, killer.
Josh Jackson, man, I told everybody, told y'all, he's going to kill people, wants to dunk on everybody, and is a hustle guy. I love it.
Yeah, he looks great, and defensively as well. I mean, Summer League is shaping up to be pretty nice, and I always like that. I like the Summer League. I like the D League or the G League now. I like that level of basketball because I think it's uber competitive because guys are hustling. You know, they don't have those contracts yet. And even the newbies to their teams like Jackson and, you know, of course, Lonzo Ball and the rest of the crew. You know, they're all out there showing off, and they're in Vegas. They're having fun. Everybody's having fun. It's just a great environment. So, I mean, have you caught any of these summer league games?
You know, I watched a lot of Orlando Summer League, and of course, man, they let some tough play go on. They let dudes kill each other. It was fun. They were like, dudes were just clubbing each other. No calls either way. But it was awesome because none of the players got really upset, and they, you know, they didn't go after other dudes. They're just like, all right, I took a hit, whatever, let's ride. And I haven't gotten to watch as much Vegas as I wanted, but I have caught some Spurs action. They've looked solid.
Yeah,
Davis Bertans is playing very confidently. I'll say that much. As is Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Bryn Forbes. I mean, Bertans, great. I mean, he's playing well, and he could be the stretch player. I don't know if they necessarily need, but a good bench player for them, and the Spurs will take that for sure. Bryn Forbes, I want to talk about Bryn Forbes a little bit. He is, it's funny, he's a tall guy, yet he seems undersized. I don't know if he's a two, really.
I'm pretty sure the last time I was on the podcast, we talked about Bryn Forbes, and I swore to God he was 5'11", but he's really like 6'3".
Yeah, he's 6'3", but as a, I don't think he's a point guard in this league.
I have no idea what he is in this league.
But I don't think he's a two guard. Well, he's not in the league because, I mean, the guy's going to show back up in Austin this year, I think. But, I mean, the guy explodes. I mean, 35 points in the D-League, that's something. And
he's leading the D-League in scoring right now, I believe.
Yeah,
he's played three games. He's averaging 29.3.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it's crazy because he very well could see a good amount of time this year with Tony Parker out until February. If DeJounte Murray starts, Bryn Forbes could be beating out Derek White for minutes with the way he's been playing.
I agree. I thought he was a very solid player. He's been a solid player at Austin for a while, of course. And when he got his shot in the NBA, when he's playing spot duty, I think he did well there. But I'm just not sure. They're so guard heavy now. And you said, you know, he could beat out some other players for minutes, and I think that he'll find a spot somewhere, but not permanent action. But when you see things like, I can't believe we're talking about Bryn Forbes. Like, we're spending this big section of time talking about this guy. But it's
welcome, Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, he seems to be a player. I mean, nobody else is stepping up scoring like that. But do the Spurs have a realistic place for Bryn Forbes on their roster? I mean, is he a real two-guard backup?
It's such a weird scenario because he could see minutes as a combo 1-2 guy. Because if he comes off the bench, he could be a two next to Patty Mills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of depends on who else he plays with. I really do think he could see heavy minutes up until February when Tony comes back. And if Tony is not himself and is struggling, he may still see some minutes until Tony really gets his legs under him.
Yeah, I think you have to have a guy with NBA experience playing until Tony gets there. Or, you know, I mean, on the roster, like a first call-up from Austin. I mean, they're going to keep him in Austin to get some minutes, but he's got to be your first guy to bring back up and get some play up at that level. So
I think he's going to be driving to San Antonio and between San Antonio and Austin a lot this season.
Just taking an Uber back and forth. As he will.
just have an Uber on call.
Yeah. So
one guy, he's like, well, you know what? We're just going to get paid by the team. Just be ready.
That's right. That's right. Well, I mean, so good for him. Good job by you, you know, and way to go. So kind of moving around with some other news. I don't think we talked about this, but Paul George officially made his way over to the Thunder. So what do you think about that? What do you think of Paul George for the up in Oklahoma? And what does that do for the West, if anything?
It certainly makes it more interesting.
Playoff team without
him. They were essentially a playoff team without him, but Victor Oladipo played a pretty big part in that, as did DeMontis Sabonis. But without those two guys, Russell Westbrook and Paul George, easily your best players. But who you have after them? You have Steven Adams and Enes Kanter, One guy who can't play offense and the other guy who can't play defense.
The one guy who's not allowed back in Turkey.
And, well, that is a completely different issue. But they have Taj Gibson as their next best player, probably.
No, dude, no, not at all. He went to Minnesota.
Oh, that's right. He's in Minnesota now, too. So they don't even have him. Nobody. Never mind.
Yeah.
They don't even have him. They have Dougie McBuckets, and Jeremy Grant, and Alex Brines, and that's who else.
So they got, they got Paul George, and that's cool, but didn't they get worse?
You know, it's crazy to think that, but I actually think you're right.
Yeah, I think they got Paul George.
I would totally agree with that, because you got... They got a fantastic player in Paul George. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best two-way players in the league. Mm-hmm. But you also lost any depth you had. And now you have to rely on... Yeah, and they didn't have a lot. And they re-signed Andre Roberson for 3 years, $30 million, which is solid. But it's like you just signed another guy who can't shoot. He gets hack-a-shacked because he's such a bad shooter.
It's amazing.
That's crazy to me.
You know, with Houston's laughing him off the court,
seriously,
laughing him off the free throw line. It's pretty ridiculous because
I can see the anguish in Billy Dee's eyes when it's a close game at the end and he has to decide, do I want Andre Roberson playing defense?
Yeah.
But do I also want Andre Roberson getting hacked and missing all of these free throws? Like Billy Dee just wants to sit in a corner and cry because he's so conflicted.
That's right. That's right. Well,
that's what I would do anyway.
Well, I know we're going to do – there hasn't been a lot of Spurs-related news, so we're kind of scattershooting around the league. And I kind of want to ask you, east side, west side, kind of what do you think about that? We're not even going to go to, the NBA today came up with some different rules around timeouts. Yeah, right. Overdue. And, so it speeds up the game. But, I guess we're already talking about it. I was saying we're not going to talk about it. Why don't you go into that a little bit?
Here's just a quick recap that people need to know. Less timeouts. Now you only get two timeouts in the last, 3 minutes
last
of the game?
Last
3 minutes of the game, you get a max of two timeouts, not three. The media timeouts, there were two media timeouts taken away, so less mandatory timeouts. So there should be a lot more free-flowing basketball with less timeouts.
Right. Perfect. Boom. Well said. Moving on. So talk to me a little bit about the Eastern Conference. What are the moves so far in free agency that have really stood out to you in the East? And kind of give me the top couple of teams to watch.
In the East, oh man, this is rough. Well, Boston is obviously going to be good. Cleveland's going to be good. Toronto should be fine, despite jettisoning.
Yeah,
so many syllables. Damari Carroll.
They got C.J. Miles.
Today. Right, they got C.J. Miles. He's solid. He's not as good defensively as Carroll.
Where did he go?
Oh no! Where did he go? He got signed elsewhere.
Producer on the show, we can make that happen.
We can make these things happen. Can't even see where he went. Simply stunning. He was traded to the Nets. That's where it was, to clear up cap space. Boom. Okay. Good luck, Nets. Actually, the Nets won't be as terrible as they were, but they're. I wouldn't call them great. But the Heat should be an interesting team.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they're definitely a playoff team, especially if they don't start the year 11-30 and have to go, 30-11 to finish the season. Mm-hmm. But that they should be good. I'm trying to think. 76ers, if they won't be good, at the very least, they'll be fun to watch, assuming people are healthy.
I don't know if I'd go out that far and say that they're not going to be good. They're not going to win anything. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're a playoff team next year.
With how bad the East is, honestly, I wouldn't be surprising.
Right.
Washington should be good again. Atlanta's going to tank.
Right.
You have to think. Orlando is still struggling.
Yeah, you can't have faith.
The Knicks are going to suck, probably, depending on what they do with Melo. But even if they keep Melo, they're not going to – I mean, they were terrible. They're just going to be terrible. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry, Knicks fans.
Right.
Chicago's probably not going to be good. They've officially decided to tank. I mean,
so that, I think what, the theme what is like there after just that? More of the same, right? I mean, there, it's the
gonna
same
be
old,
bad.
Same old. It's going to be Cleveland's going to be good. Washington's going to be good. Boston's going to be good. You talked about Miami. You know, recent history. Miami's been a good team. They'll be good again. You know, Atlanta's going to be good during the regular season, then tail off the latter half of the season and suck in the playoffs. It's just more of the same. No surprises in the East, right? Well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even see the Hawks making the playoffs because they got rid of almost everyone.
They got rid of Millsap.
I mean, they got a lot of young guys that they're saying, all right, go out and get yours, essentially.
That's right. I mean, so they quite honestly couldn't make the playoffs, as you're saying. But it's kind of the same old story. At the end of the day, in the East, it's going to be, you know, Washington, Boston, Toronto, Cleveland. Kind of sitting at the top, Miami kind of right around at the right after them.
In the middle, yeah.
It's kind of the same old stuff. Look out to the West, and let's talk a little bit about the West, because Golden State somehow still got better already in the offseason than they were before.
How does this keep happening? Also, yeah, if you take a look at their payroll projection,
yeah.
Like plus stupid. Luxury tax, luxury tax in like 4 years, they're paying something in the neighborhood of $400 million.
That's right. It was like $339 million or something for in 3 years from now. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not sustainable. But the question is, like, do you just wait that out? You know, kind of wait out that super team or not? But you know, the West, I think, has had some real. I don't know if you call it changing of the guard at the top, because the top is still the top, but, you know, Golden State's still number one. But once you get past that, San Antonio was always a number one or a number two. But then I look at the stuff that Houston's done. And people who listen to the show knows that if I weren't a San Antonio guy, I'd be a Houston guy. But I'm not just being a homer here. Houston got better, for sure. And we'll talk about that with Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker and some things that they're yet to do. Minnesota seems to be like the destination city for all NBA, you know, mid-level talent.
And it's incredible.
Yeah, they're going to be good. The Kings freaking got good, right? Utah isn't not going to be good anymore at all. I mean, they're going to be horrible. The Suns, we were just talking about Josh Jackson. The Suns look like they're going to be okay. You don't know what you've got with the Clippers anymore. They could be really good or bad. Oklahoma's going to be bad, as we said. I mean, they're going to be mid-range or less. The West seems to be where all the movement is.
That's where all the All-Stars went.
Yeah, exactly.
You did a 2-for-1. I mean, Gordon Hayward went to the East, but Paul George and now I'm forgetting who else it was, but Paul George and another guy went West. So, like, people are asking, who's going to play on the Eastern Conference All-Star team? We're going to have to bring up some guys from Kentucky?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I mean, those players, even in the West, the shuffle, and there's still a lot left, but the shuffling of free agents in the West. I mean, Chris Paul to Houston, on paper, that makes them a much better team. PJ Tucker, that makes them a good team. I've got some concerns about, you know, any time that you lose a guy the caliber of Patrick Beverley on the defensive end, you got some questions and concerns. But you know, like, the Kings got a lot better. Memphis is going to kind of draw. I mean, there's a whole lot of storylines in the West, which is really cool. But the storyline that these people care about that are listening to this show, and obviously you and I care about, for San Antonio, they, on paper, man, I would put them middle of the pack at best. Because right now, it's Kawhi Leonard and some dudes. And
some dudes.
You know, and these guys have accomplished some things in the past. But you're talking about, like, there's Kawhi Leonard, and then you don't really know what you're getting out of LaMarcus Aldridge. Pau Gasol's a year older. Danny Green's over there and could be great or could just be okay. Tony Parker's not there, so Patty Mills is your starter. Manu's older. You know, it's like everyone else got better or did something or just took a shot and changed things, and San Antonio's kind of staying the course. Now, again, San Antonio, second-best record in the NBA last year. Western Conference Finals last year. Not the worst situation to just go in where you had it before. But when I see all these other teams getting better, what about, what's the deal with San Antonio and why haven't they been able to make that move? I mean, Rudy Gay, to be honest, Rudy Gay, awesome. You give me Rudy Gay 6 years ago, that's fantastic. I'll take that any day. You get Rudy Gay today, and I'm thinking that's a really nice addition for San Antonio. That does not move them ahead of, you know, fifth or sixth in the West.
I think it really depends on how he comes back from his surgery. Because if he comes back and plays like how he used to play and like he actually cares about basketball, not like when he was in Sacramento right. and he yeah. wanted the world to end.
Absolutely. But,
you know, he, you know, in San Antonio, he's going to actually give a crap about playing and he's going to want to do well. So I think that works because he would be a great backup for Kawhi Leonard because he was – a lot of people are saying he was – Kawhi Leonard before Kawhi Leonard, yeah. sort of. I don't think he was as good defensively.
No, but he could have been.
Yeah. So I still think the potential is there for him to be great. And I thought, but the Spurs got a really great deal on him.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most important thing. 2 years, $17 million. That is nothing in this market. That is absolutely nothing.
No, that's great.
You're paying him $8.5 million a year. Come on, that's great. That's sort of the Stephen Curry injury discount deal they had him on before he just got this ridiculous max. And thanks to that Achilles surgery, honestly. And they also signed Joffrey LaVerne, great underrated center. Love him.
Now, hold on. Love what he does. Time out. You used the word great for this guy. And they signed him a couple hours ago, right? What about that dude do you look at and say, okay, that's great?
He was, I mean, some of the plays he had were stupid, just ridiculous. He agreed to a 2-year deal. I can't remember how much it was, but the Bulls pulled their qualifying offer, so he became unrestricted.
Yeah, so if everybody else doesn't want him, why is he going to be something good for San Antonio? And by the way, he's on San Antonio because Dwayne Dedmon just signed a deal with the Hawks.
That's accurate. He did do that. But
reporting the news.
But the Spurs weren't going to pay Dwayne Dedmon what the Hawks could. And the Hawks aren't trying to win. So they're like, okay, we can kind of afford to pay this guy for a year. He'll show out and he can earn another contract or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they got Joffrey LaVerne for fairly cheap. So I that's why I think it's great. He does a lot of other things other than score. Now, last year, he played in 70 games. He shot 44% and shot about 33% from three. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's pretty great, although his rebounding numbers are a bit scary as he only got 3.6 a game.
Right. That's a seven-foot guy, too, right?
As a 6'10 or 6'11, I want to say, maybe 7 feet. Only averaged 5.4 points. But he is a perfect bench guy, I would say, for the Spurs. He gives people a different look because he can shoot it. He's not as slow as Gasol or Aldridge. And he has, despite his one assist a game, he has pretty good vision, I would say. So I'm gonna have to now send you the his highlight reel.
Yeah.
But I still think Aldridge and Gasol start as the big men, assuming Gasol comes back. But because the Spurs technically haven't signed him back yet, because they're waiting. I think they're waiting for a couple other things to fall before they do so, because of the cap situation. They're pretty much waiting on Ginobili's announcement if he's going to retire or not.
Right.
So that has to be taken into account, and because that will affect the cap space they have and things like that. But he already did the Spurs a solid by opting out of his $16 million player option or however much it was. So that was huge. That was incredible. I don't know if it was a selfless act or if he's dumb, but I'll take it. So if Manu comes back, I would say Paul Gasol will still play, but the Spurs are less likely to sign David Lee back, which is sad because David Lee is my boy.
Yeah, I mean, hustle player. I'm with you. I think David Lee would have been nice on this team, but you know, they get Joffrey Laverne, and that's fine, and so he's a good bench player. But Maurice Bates is still out there, and I don't know what your feeling is on him. And we'll run through quickly.
Oh, Maurice Bates, Mo Buckets, baby.
Yeah, I mean, he's still there, and so I think of a guy with, I mean, you know, like it or not, championship pedigree there with Golden State. Kind of gave the Spurs fits at times, and a big body and can shoot a three. I don't know if it was a money. It just seems like they could have been in, like the Omri Caspi thing Jose and I talked about last time. You know, the Spurs typically do really well playing at that, like right on the JV team. You know, they assemble the right group of JV players, and suddenly they have this amazing varsity squad. And they could have done that with a guy like Omri Caspi. And I see they get this guy Laverne. I mean, do they know something we don't know? Because you pass over Spates to get Laverne. It just seems like I don't know. I feel like
Spates may have been too expensive too.
That's what I mean. Like there might be something we don't know there. You know.
Yeah, it's not always necessarily best fit, best you know best available kind of thing when it comes to free agency. It's, you know, who's the best available that we can afford.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately, is what it comes down to. And then some front offices, if you're the Golden State Warriors, will say, well, screw it. We don't care about the cap. We're already over. We're going to pay luxury tax. Screw it. Let's just ride. Let's go for it. So, you know, at some point you say, F it. We don't care, which is kind of what the Warriors have done. But the Spurs will never do that because they're like, we hate the luxury tax. There is nothing luxurious about this team. Leave us alone.
There you go. Okay, so what else about San Antonio's free agent stuff before we run through the list of free agents and then close the show?
Not much. I think we're really just waiting on Manu Ginobili, and then the dominoes will fall with David Lee and Pau Gasol. So I mean, that's really what Spurs have to look forward to. I don't think the Spurs really go after anyone else in free agency. They just don't have the space at this time, I don't think.
Yeah, that's really the challenge. They've got no space. There's nowhere to go, you know, with them. So that's why I think, you know, middle of the pack. I mean, if they don't do anything really big, like package up, you know, LaMarcus and send him out somewhere, or just do something fancy, but, you know, do something really slick, do something cool. I mean, right now, if you looked at them, where are the Spurs out in the West to start the next year? I mean, they're not a favorite. They're not a number two. Seed, where would you have them, 1 through 8, if assuming that they're a playoff team?
I'd probably have them at 5, and I think they are a playoff team just because of the coach, and Kawhi Leonard is good enough to carry the team if needed, which hopefully he doesn't have to do, because I don't need to see Tom Thibodeau-esque minutes coming out of Kawhi Leonard. That absolutely horrifies me.
Yeah, so if they're, which is what happened last year, so if they're 5th, who are the top 4, 1 through 4?
Golden State, Houston. I think the Clippers are 3.
Okay.
And, jeez, I'm so conflicted because, like the Pelicans could be good, but they just won't be good because they're the Pelicans.
Right.
Dallas is going to be bad. Sacramento might be all right, but they're not going to be a 4th seed. I mean, I might have to move the Spurs up to 4.
I've got.
But it's like I'm looking at Minnesota. I'm like, I like what they've done, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough to be a high seed in the playoffs.
See, that's where I'm conflicted. I feel like I've got the same top 2 that you do. 3 is probably LA, but I could go 3, 4, and 5, I could go L.A., Minnesota, and San Antonio, really in any order. But really deferring to San Antonio, maybe at the bottom of that. I think just experience. I mean, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi, that gets you something. Patty Mills is not a slouch. Danny Green's not. But you just have to have a lot of things go your way if you're San Antonio to get in the top half of the bracket. So they're a 4 or a 5. I've got Minnesota and L.A., you know, kind of rounding out that middle section there. I think Minnesota's going to be really good. I really like the Jamal Crawford thing. I mean, of course, the Jimmy Butler thing's awesome. They already had Andrew Wiggins. Now then they had Karl-Anthony Towns. It just keeps adding up with the amount of players who want to go play for Tom Thibodeau. And the strange thing is that his reputation was that he just ground, you know, players into the dirt. You know, I mean, that he just wore people out. And that's true. Yet, where is everybody trying to go? Minnesota, you know?
It's insane.
Well, it is, because it's like, why would you go to Minnesota if you didn't have to, just in life in general? Yet, these people are signing up for that. I think it's pretty amazing. So
I don't know. They have a pretty dope mall from what I've understood.
I heard it's underwhelming.
So wow.
Let's roll through this real quick. Free agents that are still available, and I'm just going to go in alphabetical order and kind of roll through them and maybe some stories on this.
All right.
Aaron Aflalo, so 31-year-old guard. I can't believe he's already 31, but he's available. Kings waived him. Tony Allen is available.
Okay.
Right, 8 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, but killer defense, right? The fact that he has 8 points actually surprises me. But he's 35 years old, you know. There's Leandro Barbosa. I don't know how he's only 34 years old, but the Suns waived him.
Still the Brazilian blur. I love him so much.
That's right. Matt Barnes is available. Of course, he's available. 37. Yeah.
And he's also probably available as a hitman if anyone is interested in that.
I was going to say something along those lines, but so Matt Barnes available. Brandon Bass is available, former Dallas Maverick great. Michael Beasley is available. 28 years old, though.
He had a solid year last year.
Yeah, 12 points a game. Almost 13 points a game. You could do a lot worse than Michael Beasley, for sure. San Antonio should take a second look at that. Aaron Brooks is available, but they're guard heavy right now. Bobby Brown's available, but they're guard heavy.
I'm calling Aaron Brooks before Bobby Brown.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. But in both cases, they're pretty guard heavy. Ian Clark is available. Remember him just recently with Golden State? Did really, really well.
He has a double name. He can't be trusted.
I you know what? Great theory, and I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you on that. Norris Cole's available. I mean, that's a known name from his time in Miami, his time in New Orleans. 30 years old, but they have enough.
He's already 30. Goodness.
Yeah, they have enough point guards on their team. Let me see. What else is going on here? Oh, Mike Dunleavy's available. Does that do anything for you? How is he 36 years old? He's 15 years in the league.
Mike Dunleavy is the boss.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he'd do really well in San Antonio. He's a forward. I don't know defensively if he's any good, but, again, he's available. Monta Ellis is available. But, again, they're guard heavy, but that's...
I was going to say, he scares me if you were to try and get him on the Spurs. He's so shoot first. He's more of a 6'1 shooting guard than anything else, which terrifies me.
Yeah, but you got to have points from somewhere, and it can't be Kawhi. I mean, he can't always be Kawhi. You know what I mean?
No, it cannot.
Yeah, so they've got to figure that out. Festus Ezeli's available.
Festivus for the rest of us. Yes.
That's right. I mean, he's available. That's interesting. If we're talking about we need centers at San Antonio, he's 27 years old. Big body, takes up a lot of space. So that's interesting at least. Of course, we know Manu is still out there. Let me see. Udonis Haslam is available still.
Well, he isn't leaving Miami.
Right. Roy Hibbert's available.
Hib dog.
Yeah, I mean, 10 points a game, 6 rebounds a game. If you could do it for the right money.
I was going to say, yeah, the right money, 7'2 guy to sit in your paint and swat stuff. I mean, that's not the worst thing ever.
No, not at all. I mean, if you could make it happen. A guy that I know I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for saying this, but I would not mind if for the right money San Antonio got a good look at the former Mr. Kardashian, Chris Humphreys, because I thought he did really well in Atlanta as a hustle player.
Yeah,
and if you lose David Lee, Chris Humphreys might not be the worst thing as a forward for you. About 7.
He can shoot a little bit too.
That's what I mean. He can shoot a little bit. He's a hustle guy. He gets about 6 rebounds a game. I mean, for the right cash, get Chris Humphreys on your team is not the worst thing. It's not the worst. In fact, it might be one of the best things if you're going to lose a guy like David Lee.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Okay.
We'll take that flack together.
Brandon Jennings is available. Dante Jones is available. Terrence. Yeah. Oh shoot, Terrence Jones is available.
Oh, that'd actually be a nice pick.
I like that. I like that a lot. Former Houston Rockets, great.
Lefty.
Yeah. Ty Lawson is available, but that's got all
for good reason.
Yeah, that's got problems written all over it. David Lee, like we talked about, is available. Let me see. KJ McDaniels is available, but again, just so guard heavy. In the sleeve. Let me see. It's like I keep scrolling down through to see if there's anything exciting. Okay, so here's a guy. I meant to bring this up when we were talking about, you brought up the Pelicans. Okay, so a few years ago when Houston was, well, and they did really well last year. They've been consistently pretty good. But Domo played a key role on some of those Houston teams maybe 3 years ago, right? I remember when he was a rookie, it was a big deal. He's 5 years in the league now, but he is available. He's kind of that stretch forward. He could play center for you. He's a near seven-footer, and he's a free agent. He's 26 years old. 7 points a game, 3 rebounds per game. Domo might be okay in that role, but then they just signed essentially his equivalent there in LaVern. Right, so it kind of pulls him off the table. I would say, I mean, how many of those kind of guys do you need on your team? There's not a lot of
yeah. I was gonna say you do not need a lot.
Yeah, that's right. So let me see. Let me roll through. There's not as many interesting names as I thought. Oh crap! I did not know. Oh, you were talking about the 76ers might not be good. I'm scanning through here. Do you know JJ Redick went to the Sixers?
I did know that.
I had no
idea. They paid him quite a pretty penny, I might add.
As they should. I mean, he's a more than solid player. I like some JJ Redick. I wish he is a very consistent Danny Green that scores about 3 points more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Derrick Rose is available.
No. Bad Ryan.
I mean, 20 points a game.
Yeah, on a crappy Knicks team.
But, yeah, no, I hear that 100%. And they don't need guards. I get it.
No, they do not. Derrick don't Rose put that idea in people's heads, Ryan.
Luis Scola is available.
I wouldn't hate that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Didn't
not.
The Spurs originally draft him?
You need to talk to Jose for that.
Okay.
You need to talk to Jose for that. A guy
to the internet machine.
Yeah, a guy who is available, who we should have some serious talks about, because they need a big. If the guy could stay healthy, I want to talk about a little Tiago Splitter coming back, who's available. hey, man, he does the dirty work. I Jose would be doing backflips right now if I told him Tiago Splitter was available. 7 years in the league, most of that obviously with San Antonio, stop in Atlanta, stop in Philly. But he's 32 years old. He's a center who plays forward from time to time. But over the career, 8 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, but does all the hustle stuff, all the big picks. So.
I had a discussion with this about someone on Twitter, and I've never been a Tiago Splitter fan. Every time I watch him, he's busy missing reverse layups and too busy yeah. being soft.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, on offense,
frustrates me.
On offense, he's a tool, but defensively, in the Spurs offensive game, he's great. I think for what he does, setting screens, getting
PNR role.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think he's really good at that. But I'm with you. Half the time, it's like, dude, just freaking dunk the ball. You know, you're 7 feet tall.
You're bigger than everyone else.
Exactly. Just dunk the ball. The reverse layup stuff drives me crazy. Meta World Peace is available.
No.
I'm with you. But it's a big name.
It's a long name.
Tyler Zeller's available.
Hmm.
Not the worst, right? And that's kind of it. So there, I say all these names to say to listeners that there are some options that are out there. Free agency is certainly not over. There's a lot of opportunity there. And, I don't know. I mean, I need to see something more before kind of ruling out San Antonio. But right now on paper, and even if they sign some of these guys, how many difference makers really are there that we listed off? I mean, there's replacements for kind of what they have, right? You lose David Lee. Maybe they lose David Lee. We don't actually know that. But if they don't get David Lee, you know, maybe they can get a guy like Chris Humphreys to fill that role. So, you know what I mean? There's no big names. Like, the big name that they got was LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's been several years now, and that's not really it's not really doing anything for him. So, anyway, what else you got? Anything else for this show?
I don't think so. I think we ran through everything. That was fun.
Well, let's shut this down. That's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to, I should say, I'm putting a locked on this. Jeff Garcia. I'm putting a lock on this episode. That's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with me at RyanMC_PS or Ben.
I am at the_Boomstein.
If you want to give Jose a bunch of hell, he's at JRG1023. Follow us or any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Ben, thank you so much, man. It's always a great time. And to you listeners, you're welcome.